You're listening to the Chapman Cast, a podcast about religion and life.
Welcome to the Chapman Cast. My name is Pierce with the Reverend Andy Dibb, Dean of the Theological School and former pastor. And I wanted to ask him today about being called to the priesthood. Andy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Pierce, and really excited to be on the Chapman Cast with you.
Glad to hear it. It's good to have you on again. Now, Andy, you said that you wanted to talk about the calling to the priesthood. What do you mean by the word calling? Is there a phone call? Do I answer a phone and God says, by the way, time to go be a priest?
A lot of people think that the call to the priesthood is a booming voice out of the sky that calls you, and I imagine some people have that. You know, Martin Luther was called to the priesthood because he was caught in a thunderstorm and nearly struck by lightning, and he felt that was God calling him to the priesthood. But for most of us, the calling's not quite that dramatic. I often think it's just the still small voice calling to people. I've talked to a lot of men during the course of my life about how they experienced the call. How did they know they wanted to be a minister? And everyone has a slightly different story. Everyone feels the Lord's calling differently. In my own case, I felt called to the Lord when I was very young, probably about 16 years old. I just knew at that point that that's what I wanted to do. And I would go to church. I was an Anglican at that point in my life. And I'd go to church and I'd watch the priest and I'd say to myself, that's what I want to do.
It sounds like for you then, it had a lot to do with what you had an affection for. Like you saw the activities of the priest and you thought, I would enjoy doing that. Was it really all about those external things? Seeing the minister or priest do these things and think, yeah, I could do that. I really want to do that. Or is there something more?
I think when I was 16, to be perfectly honest, there was a fair amount of external involved in it. I was fascinated by ministers. But there were other things as well. Obviously, what drew me to church wasn't just watching priests on the chancel. But I really did have a sense of God, sometimes a confused sense of God, but a sense nonetheless, that there was a God and that the most important thing that a person could do would be to serve God. Now, my concept of how to serve God was pretty uninformed at that particular point. Interestingly enough, I thought most of it was, you know, preaching in a church. I subsequently came to find that that's really only 1 hour a week. And in my current life right now, preaching is a very small part of my priesthood. But that was the way I saw it at 16. By the time I was 20, I think my vision of the priesthood had begun to change. It was much more working with people and dealing with people and carrying the concepts of the Lord to people. So it had begun to mature. Really what matured my concepts about the Lord was education. The more I learned about what it was to be a priest, the more interested I became. And so the unformed concepts of a 16-year-old were gradually informed as I grew older. And as a result, I became more excited about it. So instead of going away, it grew and developed.
You talk about how you've talked to a lot of young men about how they were called and how it's different for everyone. And the way you've described it for yourself is that you like these external features. And as you learned more and your idea of the priesthood matured, and you learned about what the internal part about being a priest was really all about, that just showed you that the externals really were good and that it sort of sounds like it was led from the external to the internal. But I've heard a lot of guys say that they want to be a priest, but they're not sure about the whole doing sacraments, preaching, counseling thing. But they love the idea of serving the Lord and reading the word and serving people. So what do you say to that kind of person?
I've actually had quite a few of those conversations, especially as dean of the theological school. And one of the things I tell them is that the person who loves the end loves the means. In other words, if they love the Lord and they want to serve the Lord, then the Lord will give them a love for the means of doing that. And currently the means for doing that are the externals of worship, because that's what we provide, the sermon, the rituals, the sacraments, teachings. We can provide words about comfort that people receive as comfort. So we're always providing some sort of external. And the externals in themselves are only important to the degree that they contain and convey an internal. But you can't convey the internal without the external. So you can't serve the Lord as a priest without doing the things that a priest needs to do. My understanding of the teaching then is that if we love the end, the goal of being a priest, then the Lord will help us to love the means, the actual doing of the work of the priesthood.
I like that because I think everyone can love the Lord and wish to serve the Lord. But how the Lord will call them will be different for every person. And that doesn't mean that they have to be called to the priesthood. They can be called to some other occupation or life, and that the means should guide them as to what their calling should be. I like to think of it as the Lord is calling me with the affections and talents that he's given me. He's given me an affection for public speaking, so maybe I should pay attention to that. If he had given me a greater affection and talent for math, maybe I should have paid attention to that and been a mathematician or a programmer. But I could still serve the Lord with those affections and talents. So when you're talking to a prospective candidate or a prospective student to the theological school, do you ever think, I really want them to come to theological school? And if so, what do you say to them to try and convince them to come?
I often talk to young men and say, I really want you to come to theological school. I may not say it aloud, but sometimes you can see something in a person, a light in their eyes or something about them that really intangibly gives you the feeling that this young man really wants to be a priest and has the wherewithal to have it. So one of the things I do, if they have doubts and they're not sure that they have the ability, the first thing I say is, well, if you're in my office, you probably have the academic ability, so don't worry about that. It's the personal issues that are perhaps more scary. One of the teachings that I often come back to is given to us in the work True Christianity, and it deals with the gifts that the Lord gives to ministers in particular. And these gifts are enlightenment, the ability to see and understand the truths of his word, perception, which I interpret as the ability to understand these things, to perceive them. Then he gives a very important gift to ministers, which is called the personality, in modern translations called shaping, the gift of shaping the minister from being a person into becoming a minister. So basically, the Lord is saying that if a man really answers the call to the ministry, he will work with that minister to shape his personality so that he will become a useful servant of the Lord. And then the last thing is application. In other words, he will help the person see ways and means of teaching the doctrine so that it's helpful to other people. And there's another way of interpreting that application as well, which is that the Lord will teach us how to be a minister. So one of the things I like to tell young men when they're thinking about this is that if they do become a minister and they apply themselves academically and to all the skills and experiences that a person needs in order to become a minister, the Lord is going to be working with him, that he will be giving him the wherewithal and shaping his personality if the person's willing to be shaped by the Lord. I like to say, you know, don't worry about that. Work with the Lord, and he will take care of it.
Now, do you think that this can be universalized to other occupations? Don't worry about it. Learn the skills. Do the academic work. And then trust that the Lord, with those tools, will be able to lead you.
I think this applies to all positions. In True Christianity, it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are given especially to the clergy. It doesn't mean that they're given only to the clergy. So a doctor, for example, who practices medicine, if he's open to the Lord, will be shaped by the Lord into a more perceptive, enlightened doctor who's able to apply his skills more and more efficiently. So yes, I do think that it applies to everyone.
I remember growing up and I'd look at the minister preach and I would think, well, I can do better than that. And now that I'm in theological school, I realize how hard that really is. So I'm not so sure. But it really is interesting to think how much we are called by watching other people. And it's curious to me to think that some people from far stretches of the world feel called to be a priest or a minister of the new church. And some of them have had very little contact with the new church. Can you talk a little bit about them?
True. They may have had little contact with the new church, but most of them have had contact with the concept of a priest through the churches that are around them. I constantly get requests from people all over the world. In fact, just the other day I got one from a man in Cuba, which is the first time I've had someone from there. They are familiar with the idea of the priest. What they feel called to is being a priest of the new church, the idea that these truths are so new and so wonderful that someone has to make them known. And very often they are the only person or one of the very few people around who actually know anything about the truth. And they feel that they need to step into that position because there's no one else to do that.
Yeah, I think that's something particular about the new church priesthood. Before I joined theological school, I was working as a financial advisor. And I remember coming to the very obvious conclusion that there were all these different people who make excellent financial advisors. And some of them might even make a really good new church priest, except that they weren't members of the new church and had no idea that they might make a good new church priest. I did have an idea, and they didn't. So didn't I have a responsibility as someone that knows about the new church to go and tell everyone? I guess it sounds privileged in one way, but another way, it's very intimidating.
I hear what you're saying. I stand in awe of the people who can fix my car, and perhaps even greater awe of people who can fix my computer. I think everyone's got different gifts. I know that I'm hopeless when it comes to mechanical things. The Lord didn't give me that gift. And if I decided to become a mechanic, my gifts to the human race would probably be very suspect. But he did give me the gift, I think, of being a priest. And I think he gives that gift to people who are willing to receive it. Now, I don't think everyone is cut out to be a priest, the same as not everyone is cut out to be a mechanic or a computer repair person. But when a person hears something and they're drawn to it and they're interested in it, that's a sure sign that that's one of their gifts that they've been given. So going right back to the very beginning of this conversation, perhaps one way of knowing that a person's been called to the ministry is, are they actually interested in the work? Do they have an aptitude for it? Do they have an aptitude to do academic study, because that's a part of the priesthood? And do they have the aptitude to work and deal with people, because that's a huge part of the priesthood? And if they have that, the interest in that, and they have the aptitude in that, those two things may be the call for them.
I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the people who have that affection and that talent, that aptitude that you're talking about, who for years have that still small voice or something in the back of their head saying, maybe you should be a new church priest. And it takes 10, 20, 30 years for them to finally come around. What is it about this calling that sometimes seems to take so long? And what do you say to someone who's had that in the back of their mind, but doesn't really pursue it, doesn't think, well, no, it's too late for me. Nah, that's not me. But every year, it comes back.
I knew a guy who started studying for the priesthood at 60 and finally was ordained at about 63 or 64. And he's now, I think, in probably quite deep into his 70s. And I often think about his story. He felt and had felt called to the ministry from a pretty early age. But he had a lot of circumstances in his life that prevented that. It would have been difficult for him to give up his life and just come to theological school. It's only very, very recently, in the last couple of years, that we've made it easier in the church for men to give up their career and come to theological school. If a man has got a wife and children and a mortgage, those external things are very heavy in their lives. I'm quite sensitive, actually, to people who are caught in that situation. people who say, well, I would love to be a minister, but for circumstances beyond my control, I just can't do it. Then sometimes those circumstances disappear, things change, and it becomes possible for them to come into theological school. Or sometimes the pressure gets too intense and they decide to leap off the edge of a cliff and take the jump of faith, the leap of faith, and come to theological school anyway. It's a very personal thing as to when a person answers that call. A lot of it depends on the circumstances of their lives.
I imagine there are people listening who are more curious about the priesthood. What should they do if they are interested?
Well, if a person is curious about the priesthood and they don't necessarily have to make any kind of commitment, they're very welcome to contact me. I'm at Brynathyn College Theological School.
I'll put his contact information in the show notes.
Thank you, Pierce. It's been a great pleasure to be able to talk to you about a subject that's very close to my heart.
Well, thank you. It's obviously close to my heart, too. I'm looking to become a priest myself. And thank you, listeners, for joining us on another episode of The Chapman Cast.
Content on The Chapman Cast is owned by its hosts and interview guests. Find us online at newchurchperspective.com/chapmancast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a positive review on iTunes and tell your friends. We welcome your feedback in the comments section of the website. Thank you for listening.